shortly before we resumed the count of the 9.8 million pound mobile service structure was moved to its park position some 7,000 feet from the pad. About an hour later, we began the propellant loading of the Saturn V launch vehicle. In some 4.5 hours, we loaded close to 1 million gallons total of liquid oxygen and liquid hydrogen aboard the three stages of the Saturn V. We now have a vehicle standing 363 feet, that is, and weighing 6.2 million pounds on the launch pad here at the Kennedy Space Center. We're continuing to top off the liquid oxygen and liquid hydrogen supplies because they must be maintained under extremely cold temperatures. They will continue to boil off, and we continue to replenish the supply down to the final minutes of the count. Astronauts Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, and Bill Anders were awakened in their crew quarters this morning at 2:36 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. They went down the hall from the crew quarters here at the Kennedy Space Center and took a physical examination, a brief launch day examination, and were declared physically fit by the three examining physicians, Drs. Alan Harder, Dr. Jerry Joyner, and Dr. Jack Teagan. The astronauts then sat down to breakfast. They had a menu of filet mignon, scrambled eggs, toast, coffee, and tea. Guests at the breakfast included George Lowe, Director, Apollo Program Director at the Manned Spacecraft Center, Donald K. Slayton, who's Director of Flight Crew Operations at the Manned Spacecraft Center, two of the backup pilots for the Apollo 8 mission, astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, astronaut Jack Schmidt also attended the breakfast. Following the breakfast, the astronauts went to the suit room where they donned their spacesuits. The crew departed from the crew quarters at 4:32 a.m. this morning and began to board the spacecraft starting at 4:58 a.m. at the 320-foot level. First over the sill was the commander, astronaut Frank Borman. He was followed by the lunar module pilot, astronaut Bill Anders, at 5:02 a.m., and finally, the man who sits in the middle seat, Jim Lovell, came aboard at 5:07 a.m. The hatch on the Apollo 8 spacecraft was closed at 5:34 a.m. Since that time, our countdown has been progressing very satisfactorily. We are still go for a launch attempt at 7:51 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Launch Control. This is Apollo Saturn Launch Control at T-minus 21 minutes and counting, and we are go for the Apollo 8 mission at this time. We appear to have a beautiful morning here for a flight to the moon. Our weather conditions are very satisfactory for a launch attempt. The surface winds in the area are from the northwest at about 7 knots, a temperature of about 60 degrees. We appear to have some scattered clouds, some 10 to 12,000 feet high. All aspects of the mission are go at this time. Weather is also satisfactory on the round-the-world tracks where the contingency areas would be located. Weather satisfactory in both the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. We're still aiming toward a planned liftoff time of 7:51 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Coming up shortly will be a transfer to full internal power aboard the Apollo 8 spacecraft. This is going full on the fuel cells and removing an external power source that had been sharing the load earlier. This is Launch Control. Final phases of the count. We'll have a final status check at about 5 minutes and 30 seconds, and at the 5-minute mark, the Apollo access arm, the top arm, will be fully retracted to its fallback position. The countdown sequencer will be armed at 4 minutes and 30 seconds, and we'll get a clearance for launch from the range at the 4-minute mark in the count. The key event will come at 3 minutes and 6 seconds. It's identified in the procedures as the firing command. and it's the start of an automatic sequence. It starts at 3 minutes and 6 seconds and leads up to the ignition of the 5 engines in the first stage of the Saturn V. Those engines, the sequence for the engine ignition will start at 8.9 seconds. As we build up the thrust, we should get a commit. That is that we have satisfactory thrust coming out of all 5 engines and have built up a thrust level close to the 7.5 million pounds of thrust required for this rocket. We should get liftoff at zero. We are now T-minus 14 minutes, 22 seconds and counting. All aspects of the mission go at this time. This is launch control. Launch control, T-minus 11 minutes and counting. T-minus 11, and our counters still go at this time. Coming up shortly, about 5 minutes from this time, actually, we'll retract to its full fallback position. The spacecraft access arm, which is at the 320-foot level at the spacecraft. The astronauts Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, and Bill Anders, going through some final communications checks with the crew here in the control center. These are checks of the VHF communications, the very high frequency communications that will be used after liftoff. We want to assure ourselves that they will be operating satisfactorily. Also coming up, the astronaut crew will be busy on some final checks of the AstroCom circuit. This is a special circuit in which the board recommendations could be given to the astronauts if the indications were received as such here in the control center, some 3.5 miles from the launch pad. Also, Mission Control Center in Houston can send these same recommendations. We've now passed the 10-minute mark in our countdown. We're at 9 minutes, 51 seconds, and counting. All aspects of the mission go at this time. Still aiming for a launch time of 7:51 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a flight azimuth of 72 degrees. The flight azimuth has been verified in the instrument unit, the guidance system for the launch vehicle, and we've also had an update to assure that we have the correct flight azimuth in the spacecraft. This has been confirmed by the crew, and we are proceeding. T-minus 9 minutes, 21 seconds and counting. This is launch control. Still aiming toward our planned liftoff time. Spacecraft test conductor Dick Prophet has just completed a status check of all elements concerned with the spacecraft operations. All reported go, and there were 3 particularly strong and loud goes from the 3 astronauts in the spacecraft 320 feet above the base of the launcher at Complex 39. Jim Lovell reported just a few minutes ago that he could see a blue sky and it looked like the sun's out. Spacecraft test conductor reported back that it's a very fine day. We're at T-minus 6 minutes, 50 seconds and counting, and we are proceeding at this time. This is launch control. This is Apollo Saturn launch control at 5 minutes, 30 seconds, and our count is still go at this time. We just completed further status checks here in the firing room at the control center. Here in the control center, we've had our status checks, and the range has given a go, as has the launch director, Rocco Patron. We are still counting, and we are go coming up on the five-minute mark in the count. Mark, T-minus 5 minutes and counting. T-minus five. At this point, the Apollo access arm should be coming back, and it is now moving back at the 320-foot level to its fully retracted position high atop the tower at Pad A. Our countdown still proceeding at this time at the four-minute mark in the countdown. The overall count will be turned over to the launch vehicle test conductor. Ray Roberts, the launch vehicle test conductor, will conduct the final 4 minutes as all different aspects move over to the launch vehicle test conductor's channel. The automatic sequence, as reported, will come in at the 3 minute and 6 second mark in the countdown. We're standing by at 4 minutes, 16 seconds and counting. This is launch control. Launch control coming up on 3 minutes and 30 seconds and counting. Mark, T-minus 3 minutes and 30 seconds and counting. We have completed our communications checks with the Apollo 8 astronauts in the cabin, and the communications are go. Coming up shortly, we'll be in the automatic sequence where we have a completely automatic checkout of the launch vehicle from 3 minutes and 6 seconds down. We have firing command. The firing command is in. We are now on the automatic sequence, T-minus 3 minutes and counting. During this period, once we do get the firing command, the various tanks within the three stages of the Saturn V launch vehicle begin to pressurize. They all must be under pressure before we're ready to launch. We have a sequence status board here in the control room that will give us readouts on the overall status of the space vehicle as we reach the terminal phases in the countdown. Now, two minutes, 32 seconds, and counting. Our status board indicates that all aspects are ready. Instrument unit is ready, spacecraft ready, final check of the emergency detection system, that ready light also on. First stage preparations are completed. 2 minutes, 15 seconds and counting, the tanks continuing to pressurize in the vehicle. Not as many reports coming now as we all stand by on the launch vehicle test conductor's channel. Coming up on the 2 minute mark on the Apollo 8 mission, 2 minutes and counting. T-minus 2 minutes and counting, we are still proceeding. We now have recorded that the first stage liquid oxygen tank has been pressurized and the pressure is still building up. 1 minute, 45 seconds and counting. We have a vehicle weighing 6.2 million pounds on the pad. Interestingly enough, some 1,200 pounds of that weight is just frost on the side of the vehicle created by the extremely low temperatures of the propellants. Coming up on 90 seconds, mark, T-minus 90 seconds and counting. The Apollo 8 crew standing by, spacecraft commander Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, Bill Anders. We now have a report that the liquid hydrogen tank on the third stage is pressurized. 1 minute, 15 seconds. All third stage propellants pressurized at this time as we come up on the 60-second mark on a flight to the moon. T-minus 60 seconds and counting. T-minus 60 seconds and counting. The vehicle now is completely pressurized. We're coming up on a power transfer shortly. T-minus 50 seconds and counting. We have the power transfer. We're now on the flight batteries within the launch vehicle. 45 seconds. Final reports coming from Frank Borman at this time. Final look at the switch list aboard the spacecraft. 35 seconds and counting. We'll lead up to an ignition sequence start at 8.9 seconds. This will lead up as we build up the thrust to a liftoff. If all goes well, at zero. We've just passed the 25-second mark in the count. 20 seconds, all aspects. We are still go at this time. T-minus 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9. We have ignition sequence start. The engines are armed. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. We have commit. We have liftoff. Liftoff at 7:51 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have cleared the tower.
Tower clear, 13 seconds. Seconds out, we get a loud and clear from Frank Borman. Seconds. Booster says the S1C, the first stage, looks good. The crew confirms their progress at 50 seconds into the flight. One minute out, and Mike Collins tells the crew we're looking good. One minute, 15 seconds, and we're a little more than half mile into the sky and about nearly 4 miles downrange. For 40 seconds. All looks great. Mile and 6/10 into the mission, and Frank Borman has confirmed each event as it's been passed to him by Mike Collins at this point. The crew has been given a go for staging. Inboard, out, on time, Frank Borman says. The inboard engines. 2 minutes, 25 seconds. We see an S1C, the first stage cutoff. S2 has ignited, we can confirm. And the thrust looks good. All engines, all sources show the second stage is burning perfectly. 2 minutes, 51 seconds into the mission. And at 3 minutes into the flight, the range safety console has been released at the Cape. 3 minutes into the flight, we're 50 miles high. And about 10 miles downrange. Three minutes, 25 seconds. We have verified that the tower has jettisoned. The crew has verified the tower is jettisoned. Frank Borman says staging was smooth, and he says the ride now is even smoother. Coming up on 4 minutes into the flight, and the communication thus far has been excellent. It's been a little sparse, but it's been quite sharp and clear. Altitude and about 20 miles or more downrange. Correction, let's make that 200 miles downrange. Flight Director Cliff Charlesworth gets an enthusiastic go from both trajectory and booster at 4 minutes 50 seconds into the flight. Mark, 5 minutes. And the crew's advisor, trajectory and guidance are looking good, and Frank Borman came back with a very chatty, thank you, Michael. He's talking to Michael Collins, who would be in the center seat today except for an operation several months ago. 5 minutes, 20 seconds into the flight. Miles downrange. We're nearing 100 miles altitude, and everything looks just grand. Collins gives the crew another go on trajectory and guidance, which at this point are the most critical elements. It's 6 minutes 10 seconds into the flight. Our downrange distance now 400 miles. Our velocity in feet per second, nearly 15,000 feet per second. We've achieved nearly 60% of the velocity required to make orbit. 57% right now. And we're 96.5 miles above the Earth. Surgeon reports he likes everything he sees. 7 minutes into the flight, and we're nearing the second stage, nearing the point where we will drop off the second stage and light the third stage. That event is to come at about 8 minutes and 40 odd seconds into the flight. We have now achieved 70% of the velocity required to attain orbit. Our present velocity is 18,600 feet per second, and we are 100 miles above the Earth, 100 even, 625 miles downrange. Coming up on 8 minutes, Mark, 8 minutes. ...20,400 feet per second, 101.7 miles above the Earth, 734 miles downrange. Is advised they look good on the ground for staging, and Borman says same here. We got S2 cutoff, we got S4B ignition. The Borman confirmed S4B ignition. The thrust looks good to us at 9 minutes into the flight. We now have 89% of the velocity required. We're 920 miles downrange, and we're 9 minutes 20 seconds into the flight. Flight dynamics officer says our altitude is nominal, which is the typically conservative word for very nearly a perfect mission, as nearly as we can observe at this point. 9 minutes, 50 seconds, and we've just gone to what we call mode four. If any trouble should develop now, we would go ahead and burn into orbit with our service propulsion engine. The crew is now being advised we plan to cut off the third stage engine at 11 minutes, 28 seconds into the flight. We're now at 10 minutes, 10 seconds. We're at 103.7 nautical miles above the Earth. Our velocity is at an even 24,000 feet per second, which is just very, very close to orbital velocity. That's 95% of it. And we're 1,200 miles downrange. It would put us out a little bit east of Bermuda. And 50 seconds, and we've heard from Bill Anders for the first time. He simply said, "How do you read, Houston?" And he gets a looking good back from a looking good comment from Mike Collins.
How you doing, Father? We're doing fine, looking good. Yeah, it's yours. Roger.
11 minutes, 20 seconds. And we're hearing a little something from Jim Lovell reporting a reading on one of his many gauges.
We have
SECO, says Frank Borman. SECO, and I would call it 11 minutes, 30 seconds. That will be an estimate. 11 minutes, 30 seconds. Our launch digital data shows our velocity now 25,577 feet per second. The data now has been reduced, and we show an altitude of 102.5. And the crew has been given a go for orbit, and they responded enthusiastically that they too, in fact, were go. Jim Lovell now has just read us down what he saw on his instrumentation. He shows an apogee of 102.6, a perigee of 96.8, and a cutoff velocity of 25,560 feet per second. That's within hundredths of a percentage point of what we are reading on our scales here in Houston. Has been advised we have settled on an orbit of 103 apogee by 99 miles perigee. We were shooting for something very close to 100 nautical miles circular. We have now the tape of the entire launch sequence, and we'll play it for you at this time.
Roger.
How do you hear, Houston?
Loud and clear. Mark, mode 1 Bravo, Apollo 8.
Mode 1 B.
Apollo 8, you're looking good.
Roger.